Okay. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. We like to do these occasionally, where it's just kind of, as I take a sip of my drink at a really poorly planned time, where it's just kind of relaxed. So, hand up. I got really busy this summer, Trey. I know I always like the quarterback show. I would say I hype it up a lot. It's not going to happen this year to what it was last year. We couldn't get everyone together at the same time. We had Joe on to talk a little bit. Ryan got really busy with some stuff as well. So it's a little bit different this year. So to our listeners, apologies. But today we're going to just have kind of a laid back show. Very short. In fact, Trey, I'm starting my stopwatch right now. I'm hoping to get out of here at 20-25 minutes, but okay. I just felt like today would be a good day to have a relaxed show, just chat really quick, do some quick talking, and get ready for tonight. I don't know if Trey's, I don't know what you do with the preseason, Trey, but I like to watch for rookies, and there's a rookie on tonight. I want to see Mac Jones. So,
all right.
I like watching the rookie quarterbacks and the running backs that get hyped up. And everything else, I think, is totally useless about the preseason. But, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm sitting here, you know, waiting. Before we even hopped on here, I was sitting here on my PS4. Excited to play this FIFA 22 closed beta, only to run into the realization that EA servers are down for the beta, which sucks because I was so excited to play this once I got the email yesterday that I got the code. So it's whatever. But talking quarterbacks is fun too. Talking quarterbacks is fun too, Eric.
I love, you know, I don't play a ton of video games, but my video game playing extends to mainly sports games, and I think that FIFA is probably my favorite. They just make a solid sports game every year. I like MLB The Show too, surprisingly, even though I'm not a huge baseball fan. And my least favorite game is always Madden. So I think the only old gen console game I'm gonna buy is FIFA, because I'll be excited. I'm excited to play with Messi at PSG. Well,
whatever, man.
So, but come on now, you have to at least be rooting for Messi now, right?
No, of course I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him, of course. It's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, I love. I'm just interested. And that I'm happy, bro. Soccer's back this weekend. Everything's back on the line. The Premier's back. I'm just a fan. I don't watch as much soccer as I do other sports just because of the times it's on, but I still follow it really closely. I watch the highlights, things like that, you know. So I'm just excited for soccer to come back. You?
I am. Well, not really excited since La Liga starts tomorrow, and I'll have to watch that Barca team without Messi, and Memphis Depay might not play, but Premier League is back, so that's a good thing. So.
Dude, I'm telling you, adopt the Eric Jensen version of soccer watching. Just switch teams constantly, pick a few front runners to root for, and just watch the best of the best. No reason to put yourself watching a terrible Barcelona team. Just abandon them this year.
I won't abandon them this year, but I will watch a lot more Premier League this year. I am excited to see Leeds this year. I was real excited to watch them last year. They finished mid-table. They made some additions this year, so I'm real excited to watch them. Chelsea, maybe. They just announced Lukaku. They brought Lukaku over from Inter Milan. So
I saw that earlier this week. Yeah. Lukaku is one of my favorites. I'm pretty excited for Chelsea this year too.
I am. Well, I am only if Timo Werner doesn't grace the field or the pitch as much as he did last year, because watching him makes me want to gouge my eyes out.
Dude, he wasn't bad in the Euros. I know you hate him, but he was really not bad in the Euros.
Yeah, in the Euros, but he sucked in the Premier League and the Champions League, man. They only kept playing him because he's a pace. His pace is insane, bro.
Sports are a year-to-year thing.
I think, they are.
You know, I hope, yeah. I like the top clubs. I'm pretty excited for Manchester United, I'm going to be honest. They just haven't won in a while, and I'm kind of backing them this year a little bit. I'm interested to see what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, or whatever his name, does. That should be fun. But that's enough soccer talk. I appreciate you letting me do some soccer talk, though, Trey, because I know we both like it.
Yeah. We'll see, though.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. So let's just read our top 10 quarterbacks. And I'm going to say this. I put Deshaun Watson's obviously a big story. The fact he's not on the commissioner's exempt list yet is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's no way the criminal or civil investigations are going to be done by week one. Like, this is a guy that still, he doesn't seem to want to settle. And this could be a guy that, like, if he gets charged a year from now, could be going to jail for sexual assault. So the way that's all being covered, just, it's obviously super uncomfortable to talk about. So I'm going to say this. Let's cross Deshaun Watson off our list.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Wherever you have him, just take him out.
Okay.
Because I think we both agree. I don't think he's going to play this year.
No, even without the sexual assault allegations, he wasn't going to play a snap for the Texans anyways.
Right. So should we start at 10 and move up to 1, maybe do 5 at a time?
Sure.
Can you actually, while I read mine, can you do you have your list on your phone or in a Word doc or something like that?
On my phone.
Okay. Can you send me a screenshot while I read my bottom five?
Yeah, let me fix it. Let me, so I can replace. I have to replace Deshaun, so I have to fix it real quick.
Okay. All right, so let's, I'll start here. 10 to 5 for me. And if you could just text me your list again, Trey, don't forget to do that. 10 through 5 for me. 10, Kyler Murray. 9, Lamar Jackson. 8, Justin Herbert. 7, Matthew Stafford. 6, Russell Wilson. And 5, Josh Allen.
That's different from mine. See, I had Matthew Stafford. Do you want me to just read off my 10 through 5? Or, well, I'll just start by discussing your list. See, I had Justin Herbert. You know, I think I agree with you on the stance of Justin Herbert. Maybe in that 7. I think the highest I'll rank him is probably like 7. That's probably as high I would go with him. So where you place him, I have no problem with at all. I think Matthew Stafford might be a little too high, maybe a little too high. I think he's closer to that 10, 11 range. That's just me though.
I've always been higher on Matthew Stafford, but I just think this year with his weapons, with the coaching staff, with his arm talent, he has been a top 5 quarterback at least once in his career, and he's been a top 10 quarterback 3 or 4 times. I think that this year he should be considered a top 10 quarterback going into the year. And I mean, I wouldn't hate if you had him. That's the one thing I kind of disagree with. You have him at 12, but yeah.
Just for now though. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going based off, you know, previous play doesn't, you know, previously Matthew Stafford isn't a horrible quarterback. I just don't think he's like a top 10 quarterback per se. Like you said, I have him at 12, but I can literally switch him between 12, 11, 10, even 9, and I can just intertwine between those, you know, and that's just how fluid the situation is with Matthew Stafford pretending to the top 10 quarterback conversation. So I don't think me having him at 12 is some set in stone, though. You know, like I just pretend to, you know, I can intertwine them between the 12 through 9 spots. So, but I can totally understand your opinion, you know, with the weapons that he has in Los Angeles now, Sean McVay being the genius that he is. He has a better offensive line. He could have a decent run game even with Cam Akers out for the year. So I'm excited for Matthew Stafford in L.A., you know, like a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think the what's mainly different between our two lists is, one, you have Ryan Tannehill in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. The drop-off between – I have Ryan Tannehill at 11 and Derek Carr at 12. There's a drop-off between those two.
There is.
I do think you can say Ryan Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback. I might have him higher. I just have him lower because I want to see what he looks like outside of Arthur Smith's system. But, you know I've been high on him. Last year I was saying he was playing like a top 5 quarterback at points. So, you know, I am high on him. I just want to see it without Arthur Smith. And then, I mean, if he does what he's done the past 2 years, this year with a new coaching staff, I think he's a permanent fixture in the top 10 from here on out.
Yeah. And that's the big time question. I think he's going to have a lot more opportunities to throw the football this year. So the crazy efficiency numbers that he had, you know, combine that, you know, with the expected added opportunities to throw the football down the field this year, because Todd Downing loves 3 wide receiver sets. He loves 11 personnel. I think those efficiency numbers might come down, but I still think they're still running the same system. It's just a different play caller. And I think we all know what happened with Todd Downing in, what was it, 2017 when he was at the Raiders. It wasn't a crazy good offensive year, but it wasn't bad either, I would say. I'll have to look back at the data again just to confirm that. But I think that Ryan Tannehill is set up to, you know, continue the success that he had, because, you know, he still has Derrick Henry, he still has AJ Brown, you know, they even added Julio Jones, you know. Just Julio Jones, one of the best wide receivers in the history of the game and arguably the best wide receiver in the past decade. So I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be fine. It's just that the efficiency numbers, I think they might come down, you know, just as a, you know, a countering sort of factor because of the added opportunities to throw the football down the field this year.
Nice. The other thing that, and now we can kind of talk about the tops of our list. I think the biggest disparity I see that I want to ask between our two lists, and I guess we'll just read them off here. For me, I have the top 4 in the NFL being Dak Prescott 4, Tom Brady 3, Patrick Mahomes 2, Aaron Rodgers 1. Your top 5 is Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. I don't have many big problems with that. I think that I just put Aaron Rodgers higher because I thought he played better than Patrick Mahomes last year, but I understand Mahomes has more talent.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I disagree with here is, how do you have Tom Brady at 6? I mean, Tom Brady threw the second. I understand that he didn't have a great first half of the year, but if you look at him from week 13 on, he was playing at the level of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. His deep ball was the best it's ever been. He was really figuring out the Bruce Arians offense, and he looked totally comfortable, and he led them all the way to win a Super Bowl, out-dueling Aaron Rodgers in the process. I just don't understand how you have him at 6. To me, he has to be a locked-in top 3 quarterback. He can't be any lower than 3, in my opinion.
And those are fair points. It's just, I'm invested more in the potential, you know, output that I can get from Russell Wilson as opposed to Tom Brady at this point.
But Russell Wilson has huge flaws in his game, like the fact he holds the ball way too long, and not to mention, I have a problem with even where I put Russell Wilson, to be honest with you, Trey. I put him at six. Like, from that Rams game on last year, he played the worst football of his career. He was not even a top-half quarterback in the second half of last year.
Yes, and of course, I think that period of bad play, poor play, excuse me, I think that period of poor play was a bit of an outlier. And I think it was, you know, based on a couple of factors that combined to create the worst-case scenario for that offense. I know that the offense was more geared towards the pass-happy offense that everybody was, you know, clamoring for, saying let Russ cook and all that jazz. But the Seahawks didn't really have a run game. The Seahawks really didn't have a run game. And I think the run game was really a big part of that offensive success that Russell Wilson has had in the past. So, sure, you can go all pass happy with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and whatever other wide receivers they had last, David Moore, you know. But there are still some flaws in that wide receiver group, you know, despite how talented that is. So I think those were exposed, and that created to create a little bit of a downward spiral in the passing game. You know, Chris Carson got hurt last year, I believe. Rashad Penny, I believe, got hurt last year. And then you remember.
Right.
Yeah, was Rashad Penny hurt? I think Rashad Penny was hurt last year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but them not having a run game, I think, really created a little bit of a rift in that offense period. So I still think if they can employ more of a run game this year and add more play action back and have that threat of the run game alongside it, then I think it'll benefit Russell Wilson, and you'll see Russell Wilson return to that top five quarterback status. Not taking anything away from Tom Brady, you know, with me ranking him at six. It's just that I'm just a big believer in what I can potentially get with Russell Wilson over Tom Brady at this point. Because I know it's cliche to say this, but Tom Brady is so freaking old, man. He is so old, man. Like, we keep saying he
no,
can't.
No, I get it, Trey, but I have to stop you here. Like, okay. I used to be on this train. Like, we all have been. And know, we've been wrong too many times. I'm just going to say this. I will never say Tom Brady has fallen off until I see physical evidence that he has fallen off. Like, projecting he will be worse is stupid at this point.
No, and I'm not projecting him to be worse. I'm just saying that there are some things that you just can't keep up with as you get older.
But
you know?
He was 43 last year, and he had one of the best deep balls in the NFL in the second half.
I get it, Eric. But look, he's 44. He's going to be 44.
No, Trey. No, you're just wrong.
I'm
just
scared,
so
Eric.
Wrong on this.
I might be wrong, but I'm scared too.
Okay, be wrong my way. If you're right, be wrong my way, because Tom Brady is going to make you look stupid, Trey.
You know what? I would rather let Tom Brady make me look stupid then just go ahead with what you're proposing at this time. Look, he's 44. He's finna be 44 if he is 44. I don't even know what his birthday is. I don't even know who's 44 yet. He's finna be 44. And we all know what happens with players, particularly quarterbacks, that when they age, things just can't get, you know.
What we got to do. I mean, I don't think we've disagreed on something this strongly all offseason outside of the Cowboys. We have to make an ice cream sandwich bet on this.
Oh, jeez.
Let's set out some over-under numbers for Mr. Brady's stat line this year. I'm grabbing a sheet of paper so I can write this down. All right. So, last year, let me just read you his stats here. 65% completion percentage. That's down a little bit. I get that. But he also had 4,633 yards, 40 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Let's just do yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. And you'll take the under in all of these, and I'll take the over in all of these. So here, I'm going to set the number, and you tell me if it's fair or not. Let's say we set the number of yards at 4,550.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
We set the number of yards at 4,550.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So that means, so that gives us room for a little regression on both sides. So you'll take,
yeah, it does.
So yards. So you'll take, you're taking me under on all this.
I'll take slightly on, slightly the under.
Right. But we're, I'm making sure I set this up so you can take the under on all of this, because basically, okay, if he goes over this, I win. If he goes under these numbers, yeah, you win. If he's, yeah, exactly at these numbers, he's fine.
Okay.
40 touchdowns last year.
Hmm.
What do you think a fair number is? I know 40's high, but I think he's going to be better in the offense. I think 40 is a fair number to keep it at, but I'm okay to move it down a little bit if you want.
You want to move it up?
No, no, I think 40, I could move it up if you, well, no, I think 40's a, I think 40's a fair number to keep it at, but I'm saying, do you think that's too high? I want to give you a chance to move it down if you want.
See, the whole, jeez, that's tough. Yeah, let's keep it at 40. That's a fair number.
Okay. Okay. And let's do completion percentage too instead of interceptions, because interceptions are just so, you know, weird. So completion percentage at 65. See, I think it's going to go up. So I'd be willing to move it up and make it a little bit easier for you if you wanted. What if we say like 67%?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So the final bet here is, Eric takes the over on Tom Brady having 67% completed percentage. This is where you could win the bet, is completion percentage.
Okay.
That's the stat that leans your way. 4,550 yards. I think I can win it there. I think he's going to have more than that. And then the even spot is where we keep the touchdowns. He basically has to get more touchdowns than he did last year by one for me to win. And if it declines by more than, if it goes, if he scores anything under 40, you win. If it's an even number, we push. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. I'll take a picture of this and we'll put some ice cream sandwiches on the line. That sound good?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll win this. I think I win this. Not only because I think Tom Brady might regress statistically, but because I think Bruce Arians might want to run the ball a little bit more this year.
We'll see. Might. All right. So that's our top tens. I think it's interesting that you're really high on Josh Allen. I am too, but I think for him to be the number three quarterback in the league, he's going to have to be what he was last year. And I do, I just think he's going to regress a little bit. I think the team around him is good. I think he'll still be a top 10 quarterback, but I just, I see him as more of, but like I said a few weeks ago, I think the guy you can put at, I think three is locked in. I really do believe three is Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Those three have to be the top three. In any order you want to put them. And then I think four is interchangeable with like five guys. And let me tell you who those five guys are. I think the fourth best quarterback in the NFL could be Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, or Matthew Stafford. And then, yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit while we were getting our lists ready, but like the top 10 is kind of interchangeable, like 10 through I would say 13 are kind of interchangeable. I do want to present my I think I did this on the last podcast, But the midline of NFL quarterbacking is Baker Mayfield, I believe. I have him as the, you know, 15th best quarterback in 30 ranked. I think that he is the true middle ground. I think he can be coached up enough where he can make them contenders. And I think if things go poorly around him, he's just an average guy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, let's wrap things up here and talk about two kind of random guys that we want to talk about. I'll let you go first with your first guy.
All right. So I debated, you know, picking this guy because I don't know if he's going to end up well. I think based on what everything has been said so far from the coaches and the front office that he's not going to start, you know, from the jump, you know, with the snap of fingers, not going to start from the jump. But this is based on my hypothetical situation, my fantasy that he starts immediately from week one. Justin Fields. I am so excited to watch Justin Fields. So excited. I don't in any capacity, whether it's him with a package of plays in the regular season, whether he or when he gets those full amount of snaps in the preseason. I'm just super excited to watch Justin Fields this year. And, you know, based on what Matt Nagy has said so far, Justin Fields is not going to start immediately. And that's fine in a sense. You know, if a coach was just coming into their job, their new team, having a veteran there, trying to start a rebuild, then sure, I think it will be okay. But Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace literally drafted Justin Fields to save their job, or basically save their ass, basically. That was the whole point of drafting Justin Fields. Save their butts and finally get the Bears a potential franchise quarterback. I think Justin Fields is going to be that franchise quarterback. I just don't know when they're going to put him on the field. So I want to see him on the field as quickly as possible and as much as possible. If he gets on the field quickly, then I'm going to be really excited to watch him play because I've been real high on him ever since. He started really playing for Ohio State ever since he transferred from Georgia when I thought Georgia should have played him, Justin Fields, or Jacob Eason, or not Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm. So I'm really excited to watch him play, but it remains to be seen when he gets on the field. So I can't really throw all my money in the court and bet when he's going to start, but I'm really excited to watch him play.
Yeah, I left all the rookies unranked on my list just because I like to do that every year. I'll say before I get to my guy, the rookie I'm excited for is not Trevor Lawrence or Zach, but I mean, everything that's come out of Niners camp is that Trey Lance is just a superstar.
Yeah.
And I am... like I need the Niners to start him week one. Like I really do think, because if he plays and he's good, the Niners are a Super Bowl contender. Like it's just that simple. I'm pretty interested in that. I guess the guy I kind of wanted to talk about is I'll pick one high and then my second one I'll go kind of low. Derek Carr. I mean,
okay.
I think that he just gets a really bad rep. He played really well last year. He got buried on a bad Raiders team, but they never lost because of him. Maybe one or two games. But, like, I'm going to say something a little crazy. I think he has the potential to play like a top 10 quarterback every year. I do. I think he's a good quarterback that people have, you know, the public opinion has swayed too far the other way. But, like, comparing what he did last year to the season where he broke his leg and was almost the MVP, they were pretty similar. The NFL has just changed so much that he'll never be able to keep up with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But, like, if he played how he played last year in 2015, when the NFL was completely different as a passing league, because I think we both agree it's just a totally different passing league now. You mm-hmm. have to be like an otherworldly talent to even keep up. But if he played in like the early 2000s, or like even the late 2010s, the way he just, if he basically played before the Mahomes era started, the way he did last year, he would be an MVP. Like he played really well. And, I like Derek Carr. I just think he gets such a bad rap. And, I think he's just a guy that isn't gonna wow you, but he's a good quarterback. He's kind of in the same camp as Ryan Tannehill, actually. I think that they're more similar than people think.
No, that's I actually really agree with that. Derek Carr doesn't really put up those crazy gaudy stats that you would probably come to expect from a top-tier quarterback. You know, with the way that the league is now, but he plays good football. He's still a good quarterback. And you know, like you said, he gets a bad rep, most because he doesn't really put up those gaudy numbers, or the way he plays sometimes. Maybe he's too conservative, maybe not aggressive enough, but he's still a good quarterback. And I think the Raiders are really lucky to have him, because if they didn't, then they'd be in a heap of trouble with the way their roster is now. So I totally agree with your stance on Derek Carr.
All right, your final guy.
My final guy, I see this was a tough one. It's hard to find a real ranking for him at this point, simply because it's that he's had some real trouble in the past, you know, with this play, and maybe that was because of the situation around him, maybe because he simply just wasn't good. But my final guy is really Sam Darnold.
Okay.
He was playing – we all know how bad he was, you know, in New York with the Jets, both statistically and, you know, on the field with the eye test. He was really turnover prone, held the ball for too long a couple of times. And to make matters worse, Adam Gase was the guy overlooking his development, or the most of his development. And I think me and you both – or I think you know – I think you know how I feel about Adam Gase, you know, pertaining to the crazy amount of rants I went about how bad he was as an NFL coach multiple times last year. So now he's in Carolina with Matt Rhule. They got some decent play out of Teddy Bridgewater, you know, even though he's super, super conservative and doesn't really push the ball down the field a lot. It'll be interesting to see if Matt Rhule can curb his aggressive nature. Sam Darnold's turned out to be somewhat of an aggressive quarterback, and I think that's the type of quarterback this offense needs, especially with the wideouts that they have that can stretch the field, and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and now Terrace Marshall Jr., who's a real nice deep threat as well. So I'm excited to see what Matt Rhule and Joe Brady and the rest of that staff can do in terms of development, you know, fixing them up a bit, fixing his on-field processing and the way he does things on the field. So if they can do that, then I think Sam Darnold has all the tools in the world to be a good quarterback. He has a nice arm, has ability to him as well. If they can coach him up and get him back, and unlock the potential that many thought he had pre-draft when he got drafted a couple years ago, then I think the Panthers could be sitting pretty offensively, honestly.
Yeah, I've talked about how I have a hard time evaluating him, especially during that NFC South preview, but I've heard mm-hmm. enough now from smart people where, you know me, at the end of the day, if I don't know enough about a person, I'm just going to listen to the smart people that watch him and kind of believe what they say. And enough smart people don't like him. I actually had him second to last. Like I had him under Drew Lock. I view him as like the same guy, but as Drew Lock is right now. That's and I really do think his ceiling is like Ryan Fitzpatrick, which isn't, you know, which isn't terrible, but it's not worthy of where he got drafted. And I've come down since we did our NFC South preview. I've come down tremendously on the Panthers. I know I said I thought they could win 12 games, and maybe if he reaches as high of his high, maybe they can, but I really do think that they're going to be an 8 or 9 win team. I don't, you know, I'm not sold on him.
Yeah, there's just some things that really caused me to, and I was a big believer in the theory that Sam Darnold was terrible. Even, you know, throw aside the factor of Adam being his coach, there are just some things that caused me to jump this situation and maybe invest a little bit. I don't know. I can see why people think he's bad. Because I've watched enough Jets games to know and see the pretty crappy, horrible mistakes that he's made throwing the football. But I think there's some things that are still left to be desired with him in terms of his development. So I might be way too high on him. I don't know. But there are just some things that are causing me to invest a little bit in his game. Especially now with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady and the impressive staff that he has down there in Carolina.
Right. I'm just going to go some superlatives here really quick. Okay. And where I have them on the list. For quarterbacks, we talk about too much on this podcast. I have Jameis Winston at 18. I have Teddy Bridgewater at 21. I have Drew Lock at 27. The quarterbacks we don't talk enough about on this show, but I think we've undercovered this year. Cam Newton, 23. Tua, 24. Jimmy G, 17. Kirk Cousins, 14. And the one guy, I'll call this my Josh Allen player of the year, the guy that I'm irrationally high on despite, and who I think could really work out despite having no tape evidence whatsoever. 19, Daniel Jones.
Jeez.
I know it's stupid, but he's got the weapons around him. And if we're sitting here in October and we're talking about the Giants as a team that's hanging around and competing for the top of that division, and Daniel Jones is looking good, it just wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he has the potential. He has the tools, if he can fix the turnover stuff, to be a borderline top 10 quarterback, like, and jump way up this list, because he's got the arm talent. He's got the athleticism. All he has to do is stop turning the ball over. And I really do think he can be awesome.
I agree with that. Well, somewhat, I agree with that. I'm a little bit lower on Daniel Jones, because I don't think the turnover problem is something he can, automatically fix. Because that, I think the turnover problem is really ingrained in his play. It's like a little bit of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I'm not saying those two are the same players. I'm just saying that those two have similar tendencies to have the most mind-boggling turnovers you've probably ever seen. So if he does fix that turnover problem, then I'll be happy to be wrong, because I love to see the Giants being good. But I just don't think he can just fix that turnover problem with a snap of a finger. That's just me, though.
And then finally, I'm going to let you guess, and this is probably not a good idea, because what context do you have to guess off? Who do you think my annual, I just put them at this number because I don't know where to put them at all, quarterback is this year?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough, dude. I honestly thought of maybe two or three just now. Like,
okay, rapid fire, give them.
Okay, Jared Goff.
No.
Jalen Hurts.
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No.
Carson Wentz. Well, no, you've plenty displayed your disdain for Carson Wentz. Gosh, that's so tough, man. I'll give like three more guesses and then I'll call it quits.
AFC. He's in the AFC.
In the AFC, okay, that makes things so much easier.
Two more guesses.
Two more. Oh gosh, that sucks, man.
It doesn't. Okay, quick.
Okay, I gotta take some time here just to make sure I don't screw everything up. Okay, okay. Let's do this. Let's do this. Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Ah, yes. Freaking do it.
Ben. Ben is like the one guy where I totally don't know where to put him.
Same.
I think we've trashed him a lot on this podcast, but like there is part of me that believes that he can be a league average quarterback, and that with the weapons they have and the defense they have, they can like make a push for being a Final Four team in the AFC. Like, I don't know what the Steelers are. I just don't know what they are at all. I have been squarely at 16. I felt bad putting him any lower than that just because I couldn't necessarily justify having Jameis Winston being a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. And I didn't want to put him any higher because I don't think he's a better quarterback than like Baker Mayfield. So I just like have, you know, he looked so done in that Browns game. I just wonder what's going to happen. The Steelers will remain a complete mystery to me until I see what Ben Roethlisberger looks like in week one.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. You know, simply because there are some things that Ben Roethlisberger can still do well, but there are a lot of things that Ben Roethlisberger can't do well, and he does a very good job of not doing them well. He doesn't have any sort of mobility anymore. His arm looks a little bit shot. I don't really know what he is. I think we have a general idea of what he is. I mean, he's an old quarterback, aging arm. The short passing game is his friend, and the run game is his friend. But if you try to throw everything on his plate like they did last year, you're going to have some inconsistent performances offensively. Like, of course, again, like they did have last season, especially in the second half of the season. So,
you know,
it'll be real interesting to see what they do with Ben Roethlisberger this year, especially with Matt Canada's offense that has a lot of motion. I'm excited. I'm actually really intrigued to see what they do with Ben Roethlisberger this year.
Yeah, my favorite Ben Roethlisberger compare, I think I've brought it up on the podcast before, but Greg Rosenthal a little while back called him Big Breeze. And like, if you take away last year, I do think it's comparable. Like, Drew Brees was still, even when the deep ball went, like, he was still a decent game manager before last year. Like,
yeah.
He was like, their mid-range game was unmatched. That's why Michael Thomas had some of the best years of his career with aging Drew Brees. I kind of think Ben's in that stage of his career, but it'll be interesting to see how fast, because, you know, we've seen it with Drew Brees. We've seen it with Peyton Manning. When it goes, it goes. Like, I don't know. Like we said, just got to wait till week one. Well, that was fun. To be honest, Trey, I don't think that took too long. And I think we did really cover most of the quarterbacks in the NFL. You brought him up. So I'll tell you where I have him ranked. Jared Goff, I have at 22. I actually feel like there's an outside chance that with Anthony Lynn, he is not as bad as people think he'll be.
I can see that.
Like, I do think he is a starting caliber NFL quarterback. He's not a backup. Like, no matter where he is, he will always compete for the starting job.
No, that's true. It's just that the limitations that he has in his game make it so hard to even throw him out there.
Right.
You know, even if you're a bad football team. But like you said, he has enough talent to be a starter in this league. One way or another. So,
yeah, that's kind of my 19 through 23 group is Daniel Jones, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Cam Newton. Everything you just said about Jared Goff is how I feel about all those guys.
Yeah.
And then I have two at 24 just because of what we saw last year, but who knows? He's a guy I'm also curious about. I think we've talked about him a lot this offseason, so I don't think we have to go super deep, but people need to give him a little bit longer rope than.
Yeah, of course. 100%.
And like it sounds like they're not going to have Jalen Waddle ready potentially. He picked up an injury. Will Fuller's not going to be there the first few weeks. I think things could start slow for him. And just give him a full year is what I'd say.
Yeah.
And they'll have to. There's no backup plan in Miami anymore. He's going to have to start a full 16 games. So we'll see what it looks like.
100%. That's interesting. You picked up on a Jalen Waddle thing. I didn't even know he picked up an injury.
Yeah, I heard that about a few weeks back. I might be totally wrong, but I heard it on one of the NFL podcasts I listened to that he's been dealing with like a hamstring ankle type thing.
Oh, well, that's not good, especially for a speedster like him.
Yeah, yeah. Just feels like maybe this time next year we'll be talking about how Jalen Waddle, like a Henry Ruggs type situation where it's like Jalen Waddle didn't get off to like a good start and he was never fully himself. It seems like a lot of rookie wide receivers could be that way. I mean, before we go, that is crazy. That's a crazy trend. I don't know if you've seen this, but like Ja'Marr Chase, Rashad Bateman, Jalen Waddle, and who else got drafted in that first round? Devontae Smith.
Yeah, dealing with injuries, right?
All four of those guys are dealing with injury, or dealing with either bad camps or injuries.
Kadarius Toney too.
Yeah, so it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out. I'm like, from a fantasy perspective, I know we don't talk about it a ton, but I would stay away from all of those guys. Cause I think they'll be available on waivers and maybe they'll get better later in the year, but, it just feels like things are a little bit off. I'll be interested to see how much preseason time people get. I think Devontae Smith is back now and kind of practicing. So I wonder if he plays tonight, actually. So, with that, preseason, man.
Yeah.
It's happening. It starts tonight. I think we're going to do a little load management here, Trey. I feel like a good idea is to do one show a week leading up to the week of September 6th. That's Labor Day week. We'll go back to two shows a week that week. But I feel like we should pick Wednesdays because all the preseason action will be done by Wednesday. And we can go, we'll just do news shows and preseason kind of takeaway shows from here on out. And that's kind of a plan. And then we'll head to our regular two show a week schedule on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when the season hits. So before we go, maybe pick maybe tell me one thing you're watching in the Titans preseason game and one non-Titans preseason game you're interested in watching.
Yeah, sounds good. One thing I'll probably be watching for from the Titans in their first preseason game tomorrow night is the evolution of the competition, for the depth receiver spots on the roster. Spots 1 through 3, maybe even 1 through 4 are probably wrapped up. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds. Maybe rookie Dez Fitzpatrick, but we don't know because he's been having a bad camp. There's been a lot of talk about Marcus Johnson dominating the camp. He's been real good as well. Chester Rogers has been real good as well. So I believe those two will have plenty of playing time, Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers, tomorrow night. They'll get plenty of playing time and plenty of chances to take what they've done on the practice field and plaster it on the in real game situation. So it'll be interesting to see the wide receiver situation from the Titans. And maybe one other thing, you know, non-Titans related game storyline from the NFL. Is looking through these games, I had to look for the Bears game.
Right.
Look for the Bears games happening on Saturday at noon. Big Justin Fields fan. You know, I'm pretty sure we've established that. So I'm really looking forward to see what Justin Fields does. But maybe another thing. I'm just looking through here. I'm trying to find the game because I know who they're playing. Here they are. The Jaguars game. Looking forward to seeing Trevor Lawrence get some snaps out there as well. So real fun period for watching rookies. I think this has probably been the most excited I've ever been to watch rookies in the preseason this year. So I'm real excited to watch that.
Yeah, and one thing is some rookies that we didn't see last year because we didn't have our preseason, I think we'll get some time to play as well. In the Broncos game, Drew Lock starting. Obviously, that's the biggest thing I'll be watching for, see how he plays. I think I would be personally shocked if the top weapons get more than one drive. So I think that the Broncos are, that's the Broncos game. Tonight, I just always like the first preseason game. I want to see Mac Jones. I also want to see Taylor Heineke. I think that this is a pretty good matchup to see both those Patriots Washington football team. In your matchup, I know I'm not going to watch that or probably not game pass that. So, and I know you'll keep an eye on this. You'll have to tell me how Kyle Pitts looks.
I will.
That's a big guy to watch in that one. For me, all the interesting games are on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Browns, Jaguars, obviously rookie stuff. Jets, Giants, that Zach Wilson. Here's what I'm really interested in, though. Packers, Texans. I know that sounds dumb, but the Packers will be starting Jordan Love, and apparently he's supposed to be playing most of the game, and we have never seen Jordan Love play a snap of football in the NFL.
Ever.
And I'm just excited to see what he looks like. And then Chiefs, 49ers, because I want to see Trey Lance. And that's kind of where I'm at with the preseason this year.
Yeah. That's a real big underrated thing with Jordan Love. You know, of course, we didn't have the preseason last year, so we didn't have a chance to watch him play. So, first game action for that guy. I might actually tune in on that. So,
yeah, I think I'm gonna be game passing most of these, just because I'm gonna be out and about Saturday night. But yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. All right, Trey. I know that went a little bit longer than we thought, but I thought it was still concise. So that's good. Yeah, I think I'll see you Wednesday. You know, as always, you're more than welcome to slide in my text and we can share Game Pass so you can watch some of these games if you want.
I always find a league out. Well, Eric, when you edit this, please bleep this out.
So. No. You barely said it, so we'll just leave it at that. I know what you were.
It wasn't a cuss word.
No, I know what you were about to say, and I don't want to edit. I know what you were about to say.
You're a douche, man.
I know what you were about to say. All right. NFL.com, watch some highlights too, Trey. Go back and that's a good way to get some tape study done for you. All right, buddy. That's it for us. We'll see y'all next Wednesday. The off season is over. Thank you very much for sticking with us. We appreciate you guys a lot, and let's get this season underway.